You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
I love Christmas in the 80s. You know, there are three things that they did, that we did in the 80s that I believe we need to keep doing today. And that song by Wham is not one of them. Amen. Let's just leave that in the 80s. Amen. But I want to do something a little different today when I give these points. So each of these points are going to be introduced by a movie clip. And this first movie clip, it comes from a scene by an infamous movie in the 80s called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And there's this part in the movie where Clark, played by Chevy Chase, has finally received in the mail his Christmas bonus that he'd been waiting on. And he was expecting it to be quite sizable to give him the ability to pay for that in-ground pool that he'd already put a deposit on, that he already ordered. Check out this clip from this movie.
Hey.
Oh. Hey. Clark, what's wrong? Honey? It's bigger than you expected? Smaller? What is it?
It's a 1-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward.
I mean, that's one of the greatest quotes of any movie right there you've ever seen. Man, I love that clip. And the reason is I love how optimistic Cousin Eddie is in that moment. And frankly, he's like that, if you've seen the movie, throughout the entire movie. For whatever reason, maybe it's the plate in his head. But it seems in the movie there wasn't a time that Cousin Eddie wasn't smiling, that he wasn't laughing, or that he wasn't just plain positive about life. And that's one thing I want to talk about that we saw a lot of in the 80s, and that's something called optimism. You know, optimism is something that we need to never lose hold of. The definition of optimism, check this out, is hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. And, you know, I begin to think about that. We used to be a lot more optimistic about things back in the 80s than we are today. We were built back then, it seems, that no matter what happened to us in life, we believed we would make it through and to where we were headed, regardless of what was behind us, regardless of what was around us. We believed in a big, bright, beautiful, amazing future. There were a lot of movies even in the 80s that surrounded that particular context. You know, a lot of 80s movies about the future being big and bright and better than any imagination could muster. Flying cars, breakthrough opportunities for mankind. It was the culture of our nation to be optimistic. And not that there weren't challenges in the 80s, but people in the 80s, in spite of the challenges that they experienced, looked at life through a more optimistic lens. And the reason I say that is because today, our outlook as a culture seems so much more negative than we used to be. We don't look at the future with as much positivity as we used to. When a challenge happens or when a situation today doesn't work out like we thought it would, our outlook today seems to default to a more dark and dreary one. Pessimism seems to rule the day today, not optimism. As many today have such a pessimistic outlook on life, on challenges, and we display that pessimism with our words and our thoughts and our feelings and our faces. We can just see it on people. How many know what I'm talking about? People have become so much more negative today than we used to be. And someone would maybe counter that and say, well, that's because, Jesse, there's a lot more negative things going on in our world today than perhaps there were in the 80s. We can't be naive to that fact. And please don't take me as being unrealistically naive to that fact. But hear me today. God's commands for us aren't to be dictated by the extremity of our circumstances. Nonetheless, in spite of the negative things around us, we must never loosen our grips on our ability to be positive. And I'm not saying it's easy to do that. I'm not saying that's a simple thing to accomplish. Being positive in a negative time is hard to do. Smiling through a trial is a really difficult thing to do. Trusting God in a difficult time is a really difficult thing to do. But at the end of the day, we must know that His Word says we'll make it through. And we have to trust His Word to be true. Hear me, what I hold in my hands is true. And not only true, true for you. Your situation, your circumstance, your life. Romans 8:28 is true for you, your situation, your life, when it says, and we know that all things, some of you may be going through a tough time right now, guess what? The one you're going through, the thing you're going through that may not be good, that may not be fun, guess what? Even that one, all things, come on somebody, work together for, let's all say the next word together, good, the Bible says. To them that love God. Come on, does anybody in the room love God? Then let's you and I, those that do love God, view life like Cousin Eddie on the wings of a positive outlook. Come on, tell me one thing that's worked for you, talking about it negatively. Tell me one thing that's worked out for you, looking at it through a negative lens. Journey Church, God has called us to view every circumstance with the ability of God's provision ready to manifest inside of it. Somebody say a good amen. So let's just, regardless of what we're going through, give God praise with our words in every circumstance we find ourselves in. And that includes Facebook. Come on, people of God. Sometimes the people of God can have the most negative Facebooks I've ever seen in my life. People, the sky is falling with a million exclamation points behind it. And I'm not saying don't let people know you're experiencing a hard time, but my God, have some hope in your post at least. And you can say the sky is falling, but just say, dot, 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 but I know the power found in the cross of Jesus Christ for my life, I won't be falling. Period. Hashtag, there's always hope. Come on, somebody. Just, you know what I'm saying? You can let somebody know you're going through a hard time, but let them know you're not letting go of the strength God has given you to make it through. Help me preach this morning. Come on, don't make me preach here all by myself. We could use some Cousin Eddie optimism in the world today. Cousin Eddie is all about focusing on the solution and not on the problem. Cousin Eddie's the only guy in the entire movie that just keeps smiling through the entire movie. Cousin Eddie's the one who got the solution for Clark, if you remember at the end. Cousin Eddie was optimistic. Embrace optimism in your today and lay your pessimistic attitudes aside. Somebody say a good amen. Number two, before we get to this point, this is a scene from the same movie. I just couldn't leave the movie. It's one of my favorite clips in this movie, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Take a look at this clip.
Too much.
we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing! I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 I love that right there. How many got a grandma, a mom, or an aunt like that? Amen. What I love about that clip is the melting pot of difference that surrounds the table at the Griswold family Christmas. There is so many different types of people around that table. And that rings true of our families today when we get together, don't they? There's so much difference displayed in a family gathering. And I want to talk about this word that God just kept bringing in my spirit, even about this movie and about what it is that he wants me to share even from this time, is something called tolerance. Because people in the 80s were, in my view, and maybe this is just me interpreting it through the eyes of a kid as I was just a kid in the 80s, but people in the 80s seemed, and I even dug into it in study, more tolerant of difference than we are today. In my view, people in the 80s weren't so intolerant of family then as they seem to be today. And it's not that we're any more different today than we were then. I mean, because we've always had differences amongst each other inside of a family. We've always had, you know, red state, blue state lines in families where some are Republicans and others are Democrats and some are independents and different views on life, politics, how society should function. But it seems like today we have arrived at insane levels of intolerance today where if you don't think like me, then you don't need to be around me. I mean, I've seen families and heard families go to blows. I mean, knock down, drag out fights over Obamacare. Just within a family. And family members going, well, if you believe that, you don't ever need to be around me anymore. And tears, just everybody running off. Over health care. Like, just stay away from me. If you believe this or you believe that. In ways where it just affects the love and connection we are to have with and amongst each other. Can I just ask it, where's the gospel in that? Can I tell you, Jordan Peterson, I consider to be an incredible philosophy, voice, thought, mind of philosophy in the world today. He says this, the true nature of community is all about compromise. It's a powerful statement. Making room at your life's table for those who are different than you is what life is really all about. And that's the overall message behind this infamous Christmas movie that we've seen a couple clips from so far. That families come in all shapes, forms, and sizes and belief systems, but they are your family. And God has called you to love them as you would want them to love you. That's the message of the cross. That's the message that we see displayed in the ministry of Jesus, who placed so many different types of people around his life to love and create close relationship with, regardless of who they were, regardless of what their background was, regardless of what their belief systems were. He chose to be with them, embrace them, love them, share life with them. You see him making great statements. Maybe perhaps the greatest would be found in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, when he says this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he says there's no commandment that could ever come from the mouth and mind of God that's greater than that one. And just allow me to interject, that word neighbor includes family. Let me make it more personal. That word neighbor includes your family. So I want to encourage you this Christmas to grab on to tolerance with those in your family of whom you may have great differences with. And embrace them with the same love that Christ, without preference, embraced you with. And maybe in order for you to do that, there may require some pre-Christmas gathering work that may need to take place before you come together as a family. Perhaps because of a blow-up that may have happened between you and someone in your family in years past. And if that's true, then I encourage you to go to prayer. Find forgiveness for them and forgive them. And then do your best to make the peace that's on earth that we celebrate so much around this time come alive in your heart with those in your family with whom maybe you've been intolerant of. Because Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 tells us how we are to live. That we are to live even with those closest to us. That we are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Don't take bitterness and unforgiveness into your Christmas holiday. Oh my goodness. I mean, what a slap in the face of the message of the cross that would be. For the very purpose of Christmas was, in spite of us, Jesus came to us. Don't take unforgiveness into your Christmas. Unforgiveness and bitterness are so often the logs, if you would, that feed the fires of intolerance in our lives toward others. Let's not be like that. Come on, let's light the fires of tolerance with love and grace and forgiveness toward one another this Christmas. And I just want to address anyone in this room who feels I'm preaching this point in response to somebody telling me something about your family. So don't yell at me at the door. Who told you about what I'm going through in my family? You have no idea how many times I hear that sometimes. Nobody's told me anything about your family. Could it be that God's speaking to your home and your family? And how many know all families have these challenges? Amen. Let's embrace optimism. Let's embrace tolerance. And lastly, number three, there's a scene in a classic movie called Home Alone. And Kevin, who's played by Macaulay Culkin, has been seeing this old scary man throughout the entire movie who is his neighbor. And he's really never had a conversation with him. Ever, from what we understand in the movie. And there's this scene near the end of the movie when Kevin is walking into a church to pray for his parents to come home to help him fight off Marv and Harry as well. And in the church, he runs into this old scary man who turns out to not be so scary at all, and a pretty impactful conversation ensues.
You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
Came to hear my granddaughter sing. I can't come in here tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
He's grown up. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I love the end of the movie. When Kevin, with his parents now home, sees that old man Marley took his advice and reunites with his long lost family. And here's my point that really hit me from that movie is a child helped an old stranger find his life again. A child helped an old stranger find hope again. Now, I know this won't exactly translate today as if you ever saw your child alone with a strange old man. You'd probably freak, as you should. But what I love about the storyline found in this movie is the youthful love of a child can be used to heal an old broken soul. And this is true of life. Children, how many know, seem to carry more impact on our lives as parents and old people than perhaps we give them credit for. In fact, there's a lot we can learn from kids as adults. Kids don't hold grudges. Kids forgive and forget easily. Kids find happiness in any situation. I saw this. I can't believe we got a TV guide. Oh, my goodness. How many remember these babies right here, a TV guide? I remember back in the day, baby Jessica who fell in the well, right? I remember I was a kid right around that time that happened, and it was a TV guide. And the TV guide, they opened up, and this isn't the TV guide, but they opened it up, and there was a hole. It was a black hole on the TV guide. And it says, that's the size of the hole that baby Jessica fell in and is in right now. Like, no bigger than a TV guide. And it was really blowing my mind. And we would watch whatever news. There's only three news channels at the time, to see how she was doing. And I remember the parents were being interviewed, and they said that when she was in the well, the main thing that she did was sing. That she would just sing stuck in a well, with her legs completely like that all the way down and her head jammed up against the knob of her knee, like just singing in a well. And I thought about that. Oh, my goodness. I mean, how many of us would sing stuck in a well like that? I mean, there's a lot we can learn from kids. Kids find happiness in any situation. Every day to a kid is a new, fresh start at life. To kids, scars are badges of honor more than they are painful wounds of the past. Kids love unconditionally. Kids dream big and don't worry about tomorrow. Here's my point. Kids are life-giving. And we need to keep youthfulness around our agedness to remember what life was really meant to be all about. My late grandfather, his name is Jesse. He's my father's father. I was named after him, and he was known by my father when he was growing up to be a very harsh man. Now, I personally never knew him to be like that. He was one of the sweetest, kindest men I've ever known. You know, one of the reasons, according to him, and my father will tell you, there's a variety of reasons on why he smoothed out later on in life. Sometimes we just do that later on in life. But one of the things that I know helped smooth out his rough edges, that assisted in taming, if you would, his temper, was the time spent with his grandchildren. He would always tell us, my grandfather, how much we've impacted him, how much we make him smile. He would always tell us what a big part we were to the happiness found in his life. How many know there's nothing like the smile, laughter, and happiness found in a grandchild, grandparents or in a young child. There's nothing that settles your heart in joy more than just embracing a young child. Kids seem to impact us much more than we seem to impact them. Kids keep us young. Kids keep us fresh. Kids bring us so much in life. And the lesson learned just from being around them, my goodness, are literally invaluable. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, he said this, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Come on, somebody. With scriptures like that, in order to become like one, then I need to start hanging around one. I need to learn from one. I need to ensure that my life is kept young by being around young people. Let's keep our Christmas young. Come on, don't let your Christmas get old. And one of the best ways to do that is to ensure that kids are around your life at Christmas time. Get kids around your Christmas holiday. And if you don't have any kids, then start having kids. Older folks who are married, and maybe you've got kids who are married, tell your kids to start getting busy. Getting busy. Come on. We need some youth around our old. We need some life back in our family to remind our family of the most important aspects of life that are often found and displayed in the life of a child. Can somebody say a good amen? Get kids around your life. And keep kids around your life. Well, that's about it. That's about all I got today. I certainly pray that you have been blessed by this series. I certainly pray that your family has been blessed by this series, because bottom line, all we want for you walking into this Christmas holiday is for you to experience the very best that God has for you. And the very best that God has for you are often brought to us on the wings of our own efforts of obedience. And so take these points, apply them to your life, apply them to your heart, apply them to your mindsets, and watch God do great things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church Podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.